I'm Selena Sage, and Live Free is for our collective liberation. Namaste and welcome. Today I'd like to share a story about knowing thyself. And the story is taken from a book that I love. It's called Tales from the Tao, and it's by Salala Towler. And this is the story of the Emperor and the Sage. Things had been going from bad to worse. It seemed that no matter how the Emperor ruled, things turned out badly. There had been famines and wars throughout the land. There was even conflict within the august household itself. The emperor's many wives quarreled amongst themselves continually, and even his advisors stood in the great hall, shaking their ancient heads and pulling on their equally ancient beards. It had begun to be whispered in the marketplace and in the fields of the laborers that the emperor had lost heaven's favor and would soon lose his place on the dragon throne. For as everyone knew, once a ruler loses heaven's favor, it would not be long before he would be overthrown. His advisors seemed to be of no help whatsoever. In truth, all they ever wanted was to advance themselves in his favor and would tell him only what they thought he wanted to hear. When he was young, he enjoyed this. But as he became older and more interested in being a good ruler, he found himself becoming impatient with the lackeys and sycophants around him. He had spent many nights locked in with his astrologers, who had assured him that he had been born under a lucky star and could do no wrong. Then he had spent further nights with experts on the Book of Changes, only to be told that all hexagrams pointed to great success and longevity for his dynasty. But he knew something was wrong, and that he would get no honest answers at court. And so he decided to travel to the mountains to visit a certain Taoist sage who lived high on the craggy top. It was said that the sage lived on moonlight and dew, and knew the future of any man that came before him. He was sure, of course, that this was all nonsense, but he decided it would not hurt to try. For many days he traveled with a large escort in case of bandits. He also enjoyed sleeping under the stars at night, which he had not done since he was a boy. He enjoyed beginning each day's journey in the brisk, bright air of the morning. His usually poor appetite improved, and he even put on a little weight. Finally, they reached the path that led to the cave, where it was said that the sage resided. The emperor decided to go on alone, ordering his personal guards to stay behind, much to their dismay. When he reached the cave, he found it abandoned and felt bereft and sad that he had missed the one man who could assist him. On the way down from the cave, he ran into an old man sitting by the side of the path, combing his fingers through his long beard and humming to himself. "This must be the sage," he thought to himself, and though he was the emperor and ruler of all under heaven, he knelt before the old man and beseeched him to give him some advice on how best to rule the country. The old man seemed to ignore the emperor for some time, and the emperor began to wonder if this was indeed the man he had been looking for. With his mind in turmoil, the emperor began to make ready to leave this addled old man and give up on his quest for the sage, when he suddenly noticed that, though the old man seemed to be sitting on a stone on the side of the path, he was actually floating, a few inches only, just above the ground. Then he knew that he had indeed found the sage that he had been looking for, and began to plead with him for advice on how to rule his vast country. "I have knowledge only about ruling my own life," said the sage. "I don't know anything about ruling a country." He then went back to humming and combing his beard, which, though thin, was extremely long. "But I have a responsibility to manage the shrines of the royal ancestors," said the emperor. "I also must conduct the ceremonies to give thanks to gods of the earth and sky. I have so many responsibilities. The people look to me as their ruler and protector. Yet I often feel so confused that I do not feel I can fulfill these obligations. I have made great sacrifices," he went on, "and have spoken with many men of knowledge and have studied the history of my family, but I cannot seem to find a way to learn how to be the ruler that I wish to be." The old man stopped combing his beard and fixed his old, yet surprisingly clear eyes on the emperor's. "It takes someone who can manage his own life properly before he can expect to manage an entire country," he said at last. "I see before me a man full of doubt and worries, mostly put there by others in their own self-interest. And so I ask you, how, if the ruler's own life is in turmoil, can he expect to be able to rule a country properly?" At this, the emperor felt as though a great weight had been lifted off his shoulders. He felt that the scales had been dropped from his eyes. Of course, he had been so concerned with his abilities as the ruler of the country, he had given no thought to his own personal nature. Truly, if he were to be a wise and judicious ruler, he must first begin to know himself. Thus began a lifelong journey into his own self-nature that not only enabled the emperor to rule his own country wise and well, but led him, at the end of his life, to be lifted to the heavens on the back of a golden dragon to sit by the side of the jade emperor himself. This is a really lovely story, and there are several things that stand out for me. First, that this emperor realized that all of the people around him were just telling him what he wanted to hear. And when he was younger, he enjoyed this. It was feeding his ego, and he felt accomplished. But then as he got older and wanted to actually be effective and help the people, he realized that all of those people just telling him yes were not very helpful. The second is that on his journey to visit the sage, he spent so much time in nature that he began to feel revitalized. The early morning walks, the motion, being in nature, all restored his body and his spirit. And it moved him away from all that had been worrying him. And so when he reached the sage, he was fresh. He wasn't as agitated as he probably was when he started the journey. And the third is that the sage is just a man, and he only identified his special nature when he realized he was floating in the air. But the sage points to the fact that he only knows how to rule his own life. And when he's hearing about the emperor, all he's hearing are doubts and fears and worries. So he questions how he could rule a country when his own life was in turmoil. So those three big lessons stand out in this idea of knowing oneself. So going back to the first, it's nice when people tell you what you want to hear and everyone's agreeing with you. But no growth happens in that environment. The greatest teachers always point you back to yourself. And so when we're hearing things we don't want to hear, it's putting us in touch with areas where we might need to grow. And every relationship that we have is signaling something about our inner world. So if we're in a relationship and the other person is unhappy or insecure or fearful, if we're experiencing that, or the other person seems like, you know, they have everything figured out on the opposite end, you know, if we're seeing that and it's causing some resistance, it probably means that we're having an opportunity to look within ourselves. A great friend and advisor, you know, coached me on this point. If we're in a relationship with someone who has certain qualities that we don't see in ourselves, that probably means that we're not looking hard enough. So if that person is fearful, look within to see in which ways you might be fearful. What is that showing you about yourself? If the person seems unhappy, in which ways might you be unhappy? If the person seems to have it all figured out, what do you feel that you have figured out that you might be missing? Look within yourself and understand that everyone that we encounter are guides. They're pointing these aspects of our very nature out to us, sometimes in painful ways. If someone's not showing up for us, how are we not showing up for ourselves? How are we not showing up for others? Use whatever signal you're getting as a mirror to reflect back onto yourself. So the second lesson, you know, again, tied to the theme of knowing thyself, the emperor's journey in nature revitalized him. He was connected to the stillness, the silence, the natural beauty of the sunrise and the sunset, bathing in forests and trees, smelling the flowers. All of these aspects of nature were always present, but he was likely locked up in the palace, disconnected from this beauty, not taking morning walks to enjoy the daybreak. When we move ourselves out of our normal environments, spend more time in nature, get away from the noise, in some way we can hear ourselves better. That solitude can connect us to our inner world more seamlessly. And when that doesn't work, we can still seek out wise counsel. And I myself have done this. I encourage it. Sometimes others can point out things that we're missing about ourselves or point us back to ourselves more effectively so that we might evolve and grow through whatever the situation is presenting. So The sage does this for the emperor. He puts the emperor in touch with the fact that he does not have stability in his own life. The emperor is full of fear. His household is in turmoil. He has all of these worries about his own life. So how could he possibly effectively run a country? It's like the saying that, you know, you have to be able to manage $1,000 or $10,000 to know how to manage $1 million. When we can master the micro, we expand to the macro. When we can master our own lives, then we can use that same energy to positively influence our surrounding community. But if we don't feel calm stability in our own lives, how in the world could we possibly guide another or be an example for others? It starts with you. Know thyself. And this connotation is typically taken to be at a very personal level, right? So to know who you are, what you value, what you like, you know, all of those kinds of things that we think about from the perspective of knowing oneself. But I'd like to push deeper to knowing one's true self, your original nature, the state of no mind, the infinite, the vast, that which is out without beginning or end, the changeless. How can we come to know that? We are so accustomed to thinking of ourselves as this person with such and such attributes and such history and education and family. How can we know that which is prior to all of that? Which witnesses the comings and goings of all of that? How is it possible to know that? And I would say to you that it is only through experience that we come to taste that reality. And the easiest way I find to do this is to become completely empty. Imagine that you are all alone in this universe. It's just you, only you. No attachments, no other people, no things. It's just you in the vast space. There's nothing to hold on to. No ideas, no history, no future, just the eternal now. Release all the things that seem to connect you to the world as you know it. Now you're just in space, just you. Remove everything, all of the stories, all of the memories, all of the projections, all of the relationships, all of the ideas. Release everything. And somehow you see you're still there. You're existing as existence. You're present as the presence. There's nothing to hold on to. Not children, not parents or siblings or friends, nothing. It's just you. Don't let this agitate you. It's only an experience for the moment. And you release all of those things. Just become completely empty. Find that you're merging with the space itself. There's no connection, not even to the form, the body. Just merging into isness. There's no boundaries. No thoughts, no ideas, just beingness. Feel the calmness of this, not needing to be anywhere or do anything, just to be. It's all you must do, just be. Somehow everything is just happening in this space, just flowing. You're just there. And then you're not. You're merged with all that is. Feel this calmness and the peace of this freedom. This freedom that you truly are, this peace that you are. Rest in and as this beingness, this awareness. Be free. Of course, that is what I always wish for you. And I thank you so much for being here. Namaste.